Matt, I don't know about you, but when it comes to West Branch football, high school football in general, a lot of people have a lot of favorites. They have favorite teams, they have favorite places to visit, but the majority of them have two favorite words. And what are those two favorite words, Matt?
I know four words that would be pretty good. Talking Bear Football Podcast.
That would be, those are four words. But the two words that I'm looking for right now, November football.
Uh-huh.
We get to talk about November football on this week's episode of the Talking Bear Football Podcast.
Right here on westbranchfootball.com. And I think we missed that last week.
We did? Yeah.
Yeah.
Matthew, we all predicted a West Branch victory because we're Bear fans and that's just what we do. We want them to win, so we'll predict a win. Even if we were playing the Los Angeles Rams right now, I would say West Branch was going to win that game. Probably 19-18.
It just makes for a good show and good discussion. You know, behind the scenes, we were pretty nervous. I will admit that. I think so. What was funny is we're riding up, the Bearcast crew and I, we were riding up to Osage, and, you know, we left my house here in North Liberty, and I was fine. Everything was good. And, you know, as we probably got about 20 minutes out from town, I just started getting so nervous. And Steven looked at me, and he's like, "You okay?" Like, yeah, I'm just nervous.
You were nervous with excitement, man.
Oh yeah, because I was so excited. Yeah.
Because you were going to the childhood home of former Bear offensive line coach Kyle Hagenman.
Yep, and
that was it.
Yeah, and thanks to his the great tip that he put on the West Branch Football Facebook page. You know, I had, you know, Jerry Flegel was driving, sideline Jerry was driving, and I said, "Now Jerry, once we get into town here, you need to slow down." Former Bear Kyle Hagenman said that it's pretty well patrolled.
Even the driver of the varsity bus, I told him, got an insider tip, and Brian Oakes got us there safe and sound. Teddy Tuttle was out for the week, but Brian Oakes drove, and he said, "Noted." And as soon as that sign pulled up, he set the cruise at 33. That's below 35.
Yep.
Smart man. Mm-hmm. But the Bears, one guy named Sammy Hagar once said, "You can't drive 55, but I'll tell you what, the Bears can score 56. And they did so last Friday night in a 56-14 first round of the 2018 Iowa High School Athletic Association Class 1A playoffs. Woo!
Got say that out. Say that more.
About seven times, and I think that you might get it correct once.
You're going to start talking as much as I do during our scoring breakdown and stats.
Yeah, let's not. If you say that, I would. If I do that about seven times, I would. But speaking of scoring breakdown and stats, let's just let you just have the mic for a while.
Should we just dive right into that and then give our commentary?
I agree with that.
Okay, let's do that. So, first quarter, things got started on the Bears' first possession of the game. Cornwell, 14-yard run into the end zone to go up 7-0. That was after the Bears stopped the Green Devils on a 3-and-out, and what on film looked like a safety. There was a great photo from Greg Norfleet at the West Branch Times. He was right on the goal line, took a photo as soon as Cameron Hauser hit Bobinette, and I think the call on the field was correct with forward progress outside of the end zone.
Because the definition of the rule is it's exactly where point of contact is made.
Yep.
And
by rule, they got that call correct on the field. So
yes,
I think no one in the on the field believed that call, but it was correct. But anyway, as I said, Bears got the ball right after that. And Bo Cornwell snuck in. I don't think anyone touched him or saw him. I know I didn't see him. Even the cameraman, me, running the film, I was fooled. Everyone in the building thought Bo Cornwell handed it off to Tanner Lukowski, but he didn't. And he kept it right up the middle of the field, 14 yards out, to go up 7-0. On the Bears, probably next possession, I think, as well, Cornwell found Tanner Lukowski from 9 yards out to go up 14-0. And then Osage answered with a 3-yard pass from Bobinette to Makestead. Is that how you say it? Makestead. Makestead, yeah.
Yes.
And as they always do, their two-point conversion attempt was good. They do not kick, except quite a bit in this game for punts, but we will get to that. So after one, it was 14-8. Second quarter, Bo Cornwell snuck it in from 1 yard out. I believe that play, how was that play set up, Jason? It got down to the
Tanner Lukowski on a nice swing pass.
Yeah,
got,
that's right.
Got down to the three, and then there was a an offside on the defense.
That's right. Yeah, and, so it was a 1.5 yard touchdown.
Yeah, but wonderful block on that that you're not going to see as we talk, mm-hmm. but if you get the chance to watch the highlights, watch his brother, big brother, mm-hmm. opening the road for him up front for a 12-yard block. I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Yep. So 21-8 there. Osage answered again, so keeping it a ball game. Bobinette found Sharper from 29 yards out. Two-point conversion was no good, so 21-14 still in the second quarter. Still in the second quarter, Tanner Lukowski gets into the end zone again for a second time on the evening, but this time on the ground from 7 yards out to make it 28-14. And then Cornwell found the other Lukowski brother, Brady, from 26 yards out to go up 35-14 at the half. And I believe that that touchdown was with, I think, 30 seconds or so left in the first half. And everyone up here, the Bearcast crew and everyone, and I was in the main press box area with all the Osage staff. And, you know, we were all saying, 30 seconds? Yeah, that's way too much time. And Osage, I mean, they marched right down the field just kind of as everyone thought they would, and the Bears defense came up pretty big to make a stop right before the half.
And the score at halftime, Matt?
Yeah, 35-14.
35-14.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Take a little break.
Yeah, I think just in that first half, there's a ton of stuff to talk about.
There is.
We'll, and I think the headline there is the Bears' defense, and specifically the Bears' defensive line. Holy cow.
As it has been, I think, Matt, for the majority of the season, but specifically since week 5 at Bellevue, the Bears' defense wanted to basically get into prove, not improve, not find a, but prove their identity. Yeah. Prove that they are, as Coach Peterson would eloquently say, a smash-mouth football team. That they're going to bring it on every play and from every aspect of a defensive set. Be that as it may, a rush up front, as you will get to the stats later to tell us how many sacks the team had total. And as on the edge, in the flats, in the middle, on the outside, to try to put extreme pressure on a receiver and on the quarterback so he can't make the throws that he wants to make. And this kid, Matt, statistically speaking, the quarterback, as we chronicled before the game with you and I and Steven on the podcast, as well as Steven and I in the weekly preview, and I'm sure they did in the pregame, which I didn't listen to quite yet, that Bobinette, I mean, statistically speaking, was the best, arguably the best quarterback in Class 1A.
Yeah, and he definitely showed flashes of that tonight, or on Friday night, excuse me. But the Bears, I mean, as we've said, the Bears' defense was the determining factor here. and just, I think, one of the big things that they did, the Bears' defense, though, was, you know, Osage kind of likes to do that quick game where they, you know, one, two, three-step drops, typically not any more than that. And fire out. And right off the line, the Bears' defensive backs and linebackers did a great job at covering up receivers and taking away those quick hits. And then at that point, Bobinette had to, you know, improvise. And really, defensive ends for West Branch, Jeff Bowie, Dalen Peterson, did a wonderful job at containment to not allow Bobinette to get out of the pocket. And the interior defensive line did fantastic job of just creating pressure and just giving Bobinette nowhere to go once he found no open receivers. So I think that, to me, that was, I mean, the highlight not only of the whole game but specifically here in the first half, because what that really showed, I think, to everyone at the field, Osage fans included, holy crap. This is, if Osage wanted to get back into this one down 35-14, there were going to need to be some adjustments made from their offense. and definitely their defense too. Because okay. I think essentially the Bears were scoring at will.
Right. And now to preface and set up the third quarter and fourth quarter breakdown here, man, I'll say it like this. Halftime, I talked to Chad Schutte, one of the stats guys. We'll say head stats guy. Head I'm stats. Going with it. If I catch some heat from the other two fellas, I apologize, but that's just the way it is. He's the man with the iPad doing the stats. At halftime, Bobinette was 14 of 29 for 196 yards passing. 29 passes in the first half. I think that's more than offensive coordinator John Hirschman threw in his playoff run all four games of his senior season combined.
Well, that's more than Bo had this whole game.
Yeah. So the Bears won the very, very official coin toss in the gym at about an hour and a half before the game. And John Hatfield, by the way, that guy's he's 5 for 5, I think, this year on coin tosses. He's good. Deferred to the second half and elected to receive, unlike Illinois versus Iowa a few years ago. It felt like kicking. So the Bears got the ball, and Osage attempts an onside kick.
Yeah.
But Brad Hunger would have no part of it. Caught it at the 48-yard line of West Branch, 52 yards to go. First play, incomplete pass. Second play, Matt, here we go.
Tanner Lukowski, 52 yards for a opening half statement to put the Bears up 42-14 after a successful Bo Cornwell field goal. And apply that to the rest of everything I've said before and everything I'm about to say. Bo Cornwell field goal, or PAT rather. And then also in the third quarter, really, I think where the Bears put it away, basically, Cornwell found Eagle on the kind of on the Osage sideline, 32 yards for the touchdown. Bears go up 49-14. And then in case it was in doubt at all, Tanner Lukowski, I mean, he wrapped the presents and put him under the tree in our terms.
There it is.
86-yard touchdown run to go up 56-14, and I believe that was the first play of the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So what Osage built at halftime, as you're going through this, man, it's like this. What they built at halftime, the Bears, when Hunger catches that onside kick, because they were trying, the Green Devils, I'm trying to get their name correct, tried to get a little bit of momentum coming their way. When Hunger caught that, went down and was covered up by his Bear teammate, the balloon had a slow leak.
Mm-hmm.
2 plays later, when Tanner took off for 52 yards, that was it. It popped. Yeah. The air was the bloom was off the flower, so to speak, and it was over. There was no. I don't think there was any coming back from that point on.
Yep.
And as you look at their drives from that point on, they had 47, 52. 74, 96 yards on 5 drives in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
Matt said this, and he'll give stats later as to the stat comparison on some things. He said, oh boy, this defense. Look at that. In the second half, I just said that Osage, a team that averaged 432 yards a game, mm-hmm. had 96 total yards, 5-play drive for 14, 8-play 33, 3 and out for 5. 8-play 22 and 4 for 22. Quick math, 15. 28 plays, 96 yards. That's 3.5 yards a play?
Yeah.
For a team averaging 9.5 yards per play. Nuts. Impressive.
Well, and, you know, back to the defense, the Bears, I think, are averaging, giving up like 230-something a game, and Osage had 242 or something like that, I believe it was.
Pretty wild.
Or 269, sorry.
269, yeah.
Yeah, 269. That it's just wild. I mean, it's Osage, I mean, was, as we've talked about, you know, last week, the number one offense in the state in terms of, you know, statistics. And, I don't know. I'm all fired up about this Bears defense.
That's good. It's fine.
I mean, that's exactly the way that a defense needs to play in the playoffs.
Yes.
Whether you're going up against the number one team in the state or in this case, the number 16 RPI team, whatever it may be, that's the type of defense that is going to win championships.
And the Bears score 56 points, Matt. Only needed, they had, I say only, they had 15 first downs. Osage had 21 first downs. They had the ball 10 minutes more than West Branch. They had 6 more first downs. They ran 30 more offensive plays and got beat by 42 points. So to me, again, go back to it, West Branch offense was efficient, and the defense was lights out. And I don't know what else we can say about this game.
What I wanted to point out was, you know, that first quarter of play, I mean, that 14 points, I think, could have easily well stuck at 8 or even 0. But in the first quarter, the Bears had 6 penalties for 60 yards. And I think most of those came on Osage's first and second drives, maybe first, second, and third drives. And I got to guess that probably at least half of those, maybe 2, 3, or 4 of them, came on third down to keep drives alive for the Green Devils. So, I mean, you take those away, and who knows how this game could have ended up in terms of points. So, but the Bears did a wonderful job at really shoring that up, and I mean, played a pretty mistake-free game, you know, definitely in the second half.
And wrapping it up for the defense and putting another tree, one last stat. On third and fourth down conversion attempts for the Green Devils, they were 3 for 20 in this game. 3 for 20. 3 out of 20. Whatever way you want to say it, the Bear defense was good. Some individual stats, Matt.
Yeah, we've got passing. Bo Cornwell, 15 of 24 for 269 yards and 3 touchdowns. The first touchdown of the game gave him a new school record for touchdown passes in a season at 21. So congratulations to Bo. And just for good measure, he added on 2 more. Rushing, Tana Lukowski, 12 rushes for 205 yards, including those 2 big 52 and 86-yard runs. And he got in the end zone 3 times. Also rushing, Bo Cornwell, 7 rushes for 8 yards and 2 touchdowns. Receiving, another big game from Trey Eagle. 4 receptions, 84 yards, 1 touchdown. If I did my math correctly, that's 21 yards a catch. Brady Lukowski, 2 receptions, 46 yards, 1 touchdown. And both of those receptions that he had were huge within the drives. The first one that he had, I think Bo Cornwell put that ball in this only a spot that Brady could catch it. And with, I think, 1 or 2 defenders all over Brady, Brady caught that ball, I think, down at maybe the 5 or 4 yard line, something like that. Tanner Lukowski receiving 3 receptions, 63 yards, 1 touchdown. On the defense, Wyatt Goodale leading the way with 6.5 tackles. Tanner right behind him with 5. Drake Bloom, 2 sacks. Jeff Bowie, 1 sack. Cameron Hauser, 1 sack. Dalen Peterson, 1 sack.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. 56-14 total. Over. Now, Matt, I guess before it's accurately and completely under the tree, we need to talk to some people. Sorry, better yet, we need to hear from some people we talked to, Matt. You want to just run them in their entirety, all 3 in a row?
Let's do it, yeah. So we have the post-game interview with Coach Butch Peterson, which is brought to you by the Full Wider Agency. We also have our Main Street Suites Polar Bear of the Game, which was, you guessed it, Tanner Lukowski.
No.
And then our Hoover Foundation Uncommon Play of the Game. That interview was with Bo Cornwell. The reason why we picked that, well, you'll just hear about it.
So, guys, I got Coach Peterson here. Congratulations. Big win. I would have never thought 56-14. You guys played outstanding today.
We played a really good football game against a really good football team. They have a great offense, and we held them to 14 points, and that's a tremendous tribute to what we're doing right now.
I think at 14-8, I mean, I think everybody was a little nervous, but then turned it on, and guys just executed well, cleaned up the penalties, went from 9 penalties the first half down to 1 the second half.
Yeah, we talked about that at halftime a little bit, eliminate some of that stuff, and they did a good job of eliminating those in the second half. And now we're going down the road. We have another week next week. We go to Van Meter, and they have a tremendous football team, and we have everything to gain and nothing to lose.
I've been to Van Meter myself when I lived in the Des Moines area. A tradition very similar to West Branch. This is going to be a great battle, and you've got a tough road. West Branch has probably had one of the toughest probably to get to the state, up to Cedar Falls. But you might as well play the state champs and knock them off, huh?
That's right. You know, I mean, we've had a horrible schedule all along, and we're kind of answering the people that gave us that schedule, and we're really glad that we're able to do that. And we're going to continue to work hard in a classy manner and be a good, solid West Branch Bear.
Very good. On to Van Meter, Coach. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our Polar Bear player of the game, almost 200 yards rushing, Tanner, and a lot of yards receiving. Great game.
Thank you.
But as far as, preparing for this game coming in, was the plan to run a lot? Was it to passing, a mix?
I think we just stuck to our game plan, keep it 50-50 like we always have, because it's worked.
Very good. And, of course, defensively, too, I know you really, one of the keys we saw was really putting a lot of pressure on their quarterback.
Yeah, that's definitely been our motto all year, and we just keep sticking to it, and it keeps working.
Very good. So, Van Meter, let me ask you, have you ever been to Van Meter?
No, I never have.
Okay, well.
Does he know Bob Feller?
Have you ever heard of Bob Feller?
No.
Tanner is too young. Well, Tanner, you're going to learn about Bob Feller this week. He's probably Van Meter's most famous citizen. Your objective next week is to become West Branch's second most famous citizen.
I'll try.
After okay, great. Congratulations, Tanner. Great game.
Thank you.
We have Bo Cornwell here, who was really the engineer of it. And Bo, the uncommon play of the game that we thought was you were scrambling and you spotted Tanner out in the flat, hit him, and away we went. What was going through your mind when you were doing that scramble?
I dropped back, and there was, like, nobody open at first. And then Bubs blocked his guy out, so I stepped up, and I was looking for somebody, and Tanner was waving his hands in the air, so I just threw it to him and ran down the field with him because I was excited.
Well, that was a great play. Osage throw anything different at you coming into this game than maybe what you were anticipating?
Not really. They pretty much ran the defense we thought they were going to run, so we had a lot of game plan for that, and we just attacked the weaknesses.
Okay, well, very good. Again, congratulations, and it's on to Van Meter, and you might as well, to be the best, you're going to have to knock off the best.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait. It should be fun.
Okay, sounds good. Bo Cornwell, our uncommon player of the game.
Tanner Lukowski is a man of few words. He does a lot of talking with his feet and his play on the field, whereas Bo is a little bit more technical and I don't want to say better with the microphone, but he'll give you a little bit more. And I like them both for that reason.
I think Bo was probably the head of the class in the How to Talk to Media class put on by Jason Miller.
Yes, we schooled him a couple years ago on that.
Drake Bloom is pretty good, too.
Yeah, it's kind of cerebral, even.
Yes. Yep.
So we've given stats, we've given scores, we've given interviews, and the Bear defense and offense gave us another round. Moving into the quarterfinals against Van Meter. And there's no way we're going to lead in and talk about this stuff without bringing in the voice of the Bears, Stephen Grace. But I guess before we do that, do you think we should give him a chance to give his thoughts on last week?
Yeah, we should do that. And then I've got something for us.
Uh-oh. Matt's got something.
I'm scared now. First off, I think I was very surprised at how well the defense played. Not because I was surprised at how well our defense could play. I was just surprised at how well they were able to limit that very good offense by Osage. So, going into it, I figured it was going to be a high-scoring shootout. The Bears' offense came to play really well. But the defense, take away a couple of those first-half drives and really shut down that Osage squad that had a lot of talent there. So, I think that was probably one of the more complete games that we've seen this West Branch team play. And I hope that we're going to be able to see that same kind of thing for three more games, because we're definitely going to need it with Van Meter. If we can get past Van Meter, we're definitely going to need it from that point moving forward.
Oh, yeah. We're in that time of the year where every team you play is the best team you play. Mm-hmm. And if you don't go into a game like that, you're in trouble. And, man, Matthew, what do you got? I can't wait any longer. I'm sorry. I'm like that kid at Christmas that has to open the gift now. What is it? What do you got for Steven and I?
Well, we got a District 4, not a District 4 check-in, I'm kidding. We have a check-in with what else is going on in the playoffs, because I think before we talk about this next week's game, I think we need to review what happened last week.
Go for it.
So in Class 1A, Bracket A, South Central Calhoun was hosting West Lyon, and South Central Calhoun won by a huge score of 10-0.
Really quickly, Stephen, I think to me that, yeah, I agree. That's the only real shocking score in first round. I actually thought West Lyon might have a shot at that one. And that was one of the high seed versus, you know, really low seed matchups where I thought the lower ranked team had a chance. And 10-0, I mean, kind of proves it a little bit, but wow. That score is still a little bit surprising.
Yeah, I mean, although South Central Calhoun, I mean, they're the number one RPI, so if I'm not mistaken, is that correct?
That's correct. That's correct.
So, I mean, hey, they obviously have played a tough schedule. I mean, West Lyon is one of those traditional powerhouses, but, you know, South Central Calhoun's got some things this year, so.
Well, I'll tell you this much, maybe not as big a surprise as I thought, because South Central Calhoun leads Class 1A in scoring defense, allowing a mere 3.6 points per game on average.
Wow.
So maybe there's some meat to that bone.
Also in Bracket A, West Sioux was hosting Trainer, and West Sioux won by a score of, and I lost it, 49-14. All right, moving over to Bracket B, Mediapolis was at Bellevue. So big game there. Bellevue pretty much ran away with that one, just like West Branch did against Osage, winning 49-14. Also in Bracket B, Pella Christian was at Wilton, and Pella Christian won that one 31-28. So there's going to be a pretty good matchup this week, Bellevue and Pella Christian, and that is at Bellevue, and I think calculated that that's about a 3-hour drive.
Yeah, 3 hours are a little better, so yeah.
Yeah, so.
And I don't think it's any shock to the majority of the people around the state, and certainly not to me, that Pella Christian is in the quarterfinals with being on the doorstep of the Dome. Doesn't surprise me any.
No.
Their three losses, by the way, came to teams with a combined record of what? Anybody guess?
A bunch to not very much.
What'd you say, Matt?
Something in O.
30-0 now.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive. That's a tough schedule.
Yes. And Bracket C, Interstate 35 hosting Mount Air, and Interstate 35 scored 35 and held Mount Air to 0. I think they did that on purpose.
Yep. By the way, Interstate 35 Truro is the district champion of Pella Christian's district.
That's correct. Dyke New Hartford was hosting South Hamilton, and Dyke ran away with that one 42-8. So that'll set up a Dyke and Interstate 35 showdown.
That's not going to be a very close trip either.
That's funny you say that. I mean, it's not close, but it's actually the same mileage as West Branch to Van Meter.
Really?
Because there's a diagonal four-lane road that goes from Marshalltown to just by the Adventureland that Dyke can take. That's what Google says they're going to take. I don't know if they will.
All right. And then moving over into Bracket D, Van Meter and Sumner Fredericksburg, which was the game that we all had our eye on, because that would, the winner of West Branch and Osage would be playing them. And Van Meter came out ahead in that one 42-6. To set up a showdown with West Branch.
And officially ending anybody left of the Osage district. Osage and Sumner Fredericksburg were the two teams from their district. Neither one is left. So, whereas in West Branch district, Bellevue, the district champion, is still around. Look at how many districts have, Matt. That's kind of an interesting thing. Then we'll move on. How many districts do you guys think have their number one and two teams left from beginning of play.
Two. You know,
at the end of the season. Two. Well, I think that's right.
District West 4 does.
West Branch and Bellevue, and then is it I-35 and
Pella?
And that's it. Okay.
Oh, Jay, you know what else? You mentioned something ended. You know what else ended? Get the box of Kleenex here.
The press box at the Little Rose
Bowl. The press
Bowl.
Box. Yep. She's done.
She gone. I think Jason's all teared up, getting a little verklempt over there.
Nope, I'm calling someone right now. Get the bulldozer and let's take that down, Pookie. No.
Careful, I got some stuff to get out of there first.
Yeah, it's true. Got to get some things off the walls and a few other stuff, things. And the old girl will be coming. She'll be going. It's over.
The 2018 season, no more games at the Little Rose Bowl as the Bears will be traveling to Van Meter.
And Van Meter. Trivia Defending for you, Matt.
State champs.
I know Steven knows this, but I bet you've heard about it now. Who's the most famous citizen of Van Meter, Iowa?
I forget the guy's name.
What did he do, though? How about
Feller.
That? Feller. Yep. Bob Feller. In fact, he pitched his first major league game while his high school teammates were playing in a playoff game. He would have been in high school playing on that team, but no, he got drafted, moved forward, and was pitching in a major league game at the same time his high school buddies were playing a high school baseball game. Talk about
those
life.
High school opponents were probably enjoying that. This guy's not going to be here mowing us down. He's going to be taking on some of them big leaguers.
Yeah, let him do that. We'll take on these fellas. But another thing they're famous for right now, pretty good football going on in Van Meter. Van Meter, the defending Class 1A state champions, defeated West Lyon in the 2017 championship game to claim their first ever state championship. Came into the season, hit heavy by graduation last year, guys. But they had a very successful, how much does fresh, soft success help your varsity? Doesn't always equate well, but in Van Meter, they've got something special going right now. And boy, they got it in spades because the team is just build on what they had last year and keep running with it. And this year, they are actually running a lot more than passing as they graduated their Carson Rhodes, who was a first-team All-State quarterback from last year. But they have some players. They've got two guys right now, fellas, that can really run it. And the very technically sound football team.
Well, you talk about kind of getting the program, reestablished. I mean, it's been a good program all around. But I was looking through some things, Jason. In the last 4 years, they're in the midst of a 35-game regular season winning streak. And what do you think their record is in those 4 years, including this season 10-0?
35-game regular season winning streak?
35-game regular season winning streak.
Okay. Regular season, so we got 9.
So are you 35-1?
35-1.
They're 45-3.
45-3, jeepers.
They were. That's crazy. They lost their first game of the 2015 season, and then they made it all the way to the semifinals where they lost. Then they had an undefeated regular season in 16, losing in the finals, and then they went 13-0 last year, and they're 10-0 this year.
Wow.
Pretty impressive.
45-3 in the last 4 years. And two of those three losses, one was in the semifinals, one was in the finals.
Yeah. I know who one of them was against. Their finals loss, I know who that one was against. Take a guess, anyone?
Regina.
I would say that's pretty accurate.
Does that check out, Steven? To Western Christian.
To Western Christian, yeah.
Regular season loss was to Madrid.
In other words, again, they've got something special going on over there right now, huh? And to me, I'll tell you what, we can talk about some of their individuals that are on the team, but it's amazing to me that I watched them in the state championship game I went to the Dome last year with Coach Peterson and saw a lineman on the team that was a sophomore, Ryan Bowles. And I said, this kid, I knew his older brother was a Division I recruit. This kid's 6'4", 275, is a sophomore, just rolling people over, absolutely pushing the mail. And I'm thinking, wow, they got to have him. They have to be running behind that kid. Nope, he transferred. He's at West Des Moines Dowling right now. Wow. That is crazy. And still, they bring back, you look at their roster that they have going right now, the majority of the people that are contributing, the scary thing is, they're all mostly juniors.
Yeah, this is a team that's going to be around for a couple years again. Well, and I don't know, I mean, a little bit of film that I've had a chance to watch, I mean, the thing that jumps to my mind right away, it's a different style, but it reminds me a lot of Pleasantville last year. I mean, I remember watching Pleasantville, and they had five or six plays that they would run over and over and over, and they would just out-execute you. And it feels like that's what Van Meter likes to do. I mean, they run, instead of, you know, Pleasantville was more of an I form off tackle. You know, they're going to run, Van Meter's more of the shotgun, let's run the, you know, zone read, let the quarterback decide, or run some sort of an off tackle play. But, you know, it's not a whole bunch of craziness where there's a bunch of movement and figure out 100 different things that could happen. It's, we're either going to run it left or run it right with the quarterback or the running back, stop us. And like we saw from Pleasantville last year, when you do that over and over and execute well, it can be successful. And it has been, obviously, for Van Meter.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, that they do have a lot of quarterback runs with Anthony Potthoff. Potthoff, I think that's how you say it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's not the fastest kid. And when you watch him on film, I mean, he's kind of, looks like his legs move pretty slowly. But he makes up yards, and he's pretty hard to bring down, too. He's pretty shifty, I've noticed. So it's going to be really important for the Bears to make sure that they contain him at the line, and when they get a hand on him, bring him down.
6'2", 185 are his measurables. Also, their leading rusher, Steven, maybe you can talk more about this young man, Ian Abramson. He's a junior. There's a by the way, Anthony Potthoff, a junior. There again, there's that trend. Abramson goes 5'11", 205. That's like a moving bowling ball.
Yeah.
Coming right at you.
Yeah, he's got 644 yards, 22 touchdowns. He's got about 8 yards per carry. And what I noticed from him is, you know, he's just a really strong runner. I mean, lower center of gravity. He's just going to stick his nose in there. And if you're not wrapping him up, bringing him down. I mean, it's similar, except different, to what we saw with Owen Grover. You know, Grover, the running back from Dyersville-Beckman, you know, he was 6'3 and was really hard to bring down. It's the same style in terms of he's just going to be strong and physical, and he's not going to be afraid to greet contact. So you're going to have to make sure that you wrap him up. He's just about 5 inches shorter than what Grover was. But that means that he can hide behind his offensive lineman just a little bit better, too. But, yeah, I mean, those two guys, I mean, that is where probably 70% of their offense runs through, is those two guys. And so West Branch really going to have to make sure they're playing assignment football, make sure that you're keeping the edge, not letting people get to the outside, not getting, you know, letting guys get loose and bust some big plays there. Otherwise, they're going to make you pay.
Yeah, you said about 80% of their offense goes through them. From a rushing perspective, Abramson, 211 attempts. Potthoff, 110 attempts, that's 321. The rest of the team, 84 attempts. So it's like it's about 4-1 with attempt with those two compared to everybody else.
The hard thing too is, you know, you watch, and I mean, Potthoff comes in, he's 900 yards passing, you know, 55% completion. You're thinking, oh, so they're not a very strong passing team, so if we can just stop the run, we'll be okay. I don't think that's the case. I think Potthoff just hasn't had to throw the ball. And so that's been the big difference is, you know, they can have success running it, so he doesn't need to. You know, so you look, he's got 982 yards, 18 touchdowns, one interception. And he's got 9 different guys that have caught a touchdown pass.
Yeah, do the math. He's got 18 touchdown passes to 65 completions. So maybe he's not throwing the ball very much. Maybe he's not completing as much as, say, Bo Cornwell from West Branch. But when he completes it, 30% of the time it's going to the end zone.
Like I say, they can run so well that they don't have to pass the football.
Right. And a man, we talked West Branch going towards that to bring it in, and I'll lead it to you. West Branch is, likes to be a 50-50 team, passing to rushing, right? In fact, they're 53-47 right now on the season, passing, rushing. Potoff, almost identical statistics from attempts and yardage. Pass attempts 118 for 982. Rush attempts 110 for 927. Man, when are we going to be done with these two-way quarterbacks, man?
Yeah.
Gosh. I don't know, but they've always seemed to give West Branch quite a bit of trouble in the playoffs, you know, just kind of in recent memory. So, yeah, I kind of hope this might be the last that we see of these two-way quarterbacks. But, I mean, the Bears did a good job at stopping Bobinett. So I think, you know, as Steven said earlier and I said before we got Steven on, this defense continues what they've been doing, not just last week but the last few weeks. That's going to be a good sign, and I would feel pretty confident at that point.
And, fellas, I'm glad that Matt used the word bringing the defense back up. We haven't even talked about this Van Meter defense yet. Two things jump out at me. One of them, it's pretty obvious a guy's going to jump out that 6'7", 220 pounds, and has been offered 14 high-level scholarships. Not offered at Iowa or Iowa State yet, but most people think he'll end up being offered at Iowa as a defensive player, defensive end, defensive lineman. 6'7", 220, and his name is Chris Reams. Fellas, you're going to see a lot of it because he stands out on defense. He, the leader of that defense. The other stat from defense, guys, through 10 games, 18 interceptions. They're picking teams off twice a game.
Well, and then you throw in 13 fumble recoveries. They've got 28 takeaways through 10 games. They're getting the ball back three extra times to their offense, basically, per game. And you look stats-wise, I mean, they're giving up about 130 yards per game on the ground. They only allow about 82 yards through the air, 215 yards per game, and they only give up 7 points. I mean, I think they gave up, was it 14 in week one and 16 to Sumner Fredericksburg. Otherwise, they've been giving teams 6 or 7 points per game. So
exactly 7.6. They are right now at the third spot of defensive average, giving up 7.6 points a game. West Branch is eighth at 12.6. These two teams are pretty identical on the offensive side. West Branch at 40 points, Van Meter at 42 points a game. B.C. Moore, his program, puts all this, a lot of this. Our old pal, computer plays games on this, evidently. West Branch is second. Bellevue's number one in these rankings. West Branch is second. And they basically have overall the same ranking. If you look by total, it's like, it's a 0.05 of a point away, okay? West Branch is moderate. Their modified strength rating is 114.02. Van Meter's is 105.24. The computer thinks West Branch is going to win by 8 points, but as I already said once, computers don't play football games.
No, they do not.
Football teams do. Football players do. And this is a very good football team we're going to play, and I don't know really much else what else we can say about them.
It is going to be a knockdown drag out, and it's either going to be a 7-6 type ball game, or it's going to be a 49-48 type ball game.
I agree. I'm not going to give away my score just yet, but I agree with you on one of those, on one side or the other there. Matt, move it on. You got it. Take control. What do you want to talk about?
Well, let's get into predictions now. My favorite part of the show.
Yep. As you can see on Matt, really, really quickly, Matt, look on your Talking Bear Football. We talked about the record. One of my favorite things is the last time the Bears played them is what?
Never.
Literally not like ever.
Ever.
I just wanted to say that so the kids understood me. Put the word literally and like in there so they could literally understand.
Those like are, never. That's like an oxymoron.
It is.
Literally so. Or like.
I know.
Anyway, score predictions. Last week, I had 19-18, the classic score. Jason, you had 18-17, trying to box me in. But we were way off. Steven was a little closer. He had 38-28. Greg Norfleet, 38-35. And Nathan Anderson, 35-17.
Did we tie there? I think we tied, right?
Nathan
Probably Nathan, closest all around.
Correct.
Judge's ruling. What was that? Yep. Everybody wins because the Bears win.
That's okay. I'll let that pass. Okay, so what do you guys got for this week? Jason, you are up to go first.
I go first like 9 weeks out of the year, but I love it.
No, you don't.
Well, we're rotating. In my mind, I'm going to go first every week, 9 weeks of the year. So I've hopefully got two more after this week. But as for the Fan Meter and West Branch game, like I said, when Steven said some scores, I tend to side on the backside of that. I think both of these teams are going to put up some points. I'm not going to say it's going to be in the 40s for each team. I think it's going to be kind of a mid-range scoring night. 34-28 West Branch. In essence, that's 19-18.
Correct, so. Yeah. Stephen Grace.
I think it's going to be a little more defensive-minded, but still I think both teams will move the ball a little bit. I'm going to go with the Bears by a field goal, 24-21.
I am going to go with 31-27 West Branch.
Boy, did he box us in on each side, Stephen, or what? Mm-hmm. Bless his heart.
Yep. Nathan Anderson already wrote in. He said 35-20, and I'm sure I will hear from Greg Norfleet sometime this week. All right. Moving on to pick to click, or picks to click. Pick to clicks.
Picks to click, yeah.
Something like that. Whatever the plural form of that word is. Last week, I had Tanner Lukowski, Jason had Trey Eagle, Stephen had Brady Lukowski, Greg had Tanner Lukowski, and Nathan Anderson had Bo Cornwell. I think there's a three-way tie there.
Oh, I think there's
Trey
a three-way
Eagle,
tie.
Good too.
So I Trey think, had no, a good game. I know. Tanner was pretty good, darn good.
Bo Cornwell had five touchdowns.
Yeah.
Three passing, two rushing. They all win.
I think as we said last week, we just become accustomed to that.
Okay.
So he's just doing normal things.
He went above and beyond with a couple more rushing touchdowns, too.
That's true.
I fought for Tanner last week. I'll fight for Bo this week. So there
everyone
we go.
Wins.
Everyone wins. I see the as the bold face pops up. Speaking of everyone wins, I hope it happens again this week. But my pick for this week, guys, I got to go with Drake Bloom on the defense line.
I like it.
I think he played his best game as a West Branch Bear last week on a defensive lineman perspective. And he's going to have to do it again.
Steven, who you got?
I'm going to go with Tanner. Don't like to go to the well too often, but I think it's going to be a night that, both offensive and defensive. He's going to have to do some good things at that outside linebacker spot, staying home on the backside. Mm-hmm. And then I think he's going to be the key, getting us those yards down the field like we saw last Friday night.
I would be hard-pressed to say that West Branch would be successful without him being successful too, so I think you're absolutely right. And I'm going with John Hatfield. I think
Johnny Hats, old
this
Cap
is,
Copper fit.
I mean, he's kind of a silent but deadly kind of guy, and I think that this is a week for him to continue that and really show that he is one of the leaders of this defense, because I think he's gonna have to be all over the field, in the backfield, at the line of scrimmage, or even in that second level. To stop this Bulldog offense.
When I was younger, silent but deadly meant a completely different thing.
Oh, it still does.
It still means it. And, well, you know what? Go for it. I like it. So.
Well, we're talking about football.
We are talking Bear football. You're right. So, Steven, your favorite time of the podcast, where it's kind of my favorite time. I get to hear Steven. We'll talk about those sponsors really quickly, though. You guys going to come on air next Friday again at 6:30 with a kickoff at 7, weather permitting. We can listen to it, folks out there that aren't going to make the 140-mile trek. Very easy down Interstate 80 just west of Des Moines. You can listen to it on westbranchfootball.com directly, or you can download the Mixlr, M-I-X-L-R app on your smartphone and search West Branch Football. Does that sound about right, Matt?
That is literally like right.
Oh, my gosh.
Literally.
Sponsorship, Stephen, what do you got?
We have, the Liberty Communications is
oh,
our...
Oh, my gosh.
Sorry. Liberty Communications is our presenting sponsor. We have Barnhart Custom Services. We have Corridor Drywall. We have Hodge Construction. We have Main Street Suites. We have Community State Bank, member FDIC. We have Full Wider Insurance Agency. We have Cornerstone Real Estate Consultants. Let's see here. The West Branch Times. The Hoover Presidential Foundation. And EMS Detergent Services.
I think you got them.
I would drop my mic, but I'm holding my phone and my iPad, so never mind.
Right. And, of course, on the road, man, I mean, I want to doubly thank, without the generous gift of the Sheely family.
That's right.
For offering up hotspot services, we wouldn't be able to bring this game to you because very few play. In fact, have you been to a press box yet in the 2, 3, 4, 5 seasons we've been doing this that had Wi-Fi for you or an internet connection?
We've had a couple. One or two.
Okay.
But, so, yeah.
It's limited.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, Sheely family, thank you so much for the donation you made that's going towards our hotspot services. So, they're not a sponsor, but I gotta give a big hand to US Cellular wherever we go. They have service.
All of you, for all, here we go, US Cellular. And social media. Oh, boy, do I love it. Love social media. And in fact, if you can't listen to it, and you're a big fan of social media, and you want to get updates throughout the game or after the game or all things West Branch football, at any time you can go to these accounts. Twitter, at WB Bears Football. Instagram, Steven.
At WB Bears Football.
Facebook, Matt.
West Branch Football.
And YouTube, Matt.
West Branch Football.
And you got to make sure to...
West Branch Football.
West Branch Football. That's right. All day. all day.
Subscribe
day.
To it.
Subscribe!
Thank you, Steven.
Exclamation point. Yes.
Sub West Branch Football.
Yep. Speaking of West Branch Football and subscribing, they need to subscribe to being determined for excellence. They need to be subscribed to playing fundamentally sound football going forward because there's no room for error, specifically against the defending state champion in Class 1A Van Meter. It's pep talk time, Matt. You're on deck. You're on the mic. You're not on deck. You're up.
West Branch Football.
Steven?
Good answer, Matt. Good answer.
Thank you. No, in all seriousness, this is the hurdle. This is the big roadblock that you have to get over. The defending state champs, Van Meter, one of the best teams, I mean, you could argue the best team in Class 1A, prove that you're better than them. Get over that hurdle. Get into the semifinals. Get to the Dome, a place that you haven't been since, I think, 2011. Be that team that, as I keep saying, get over that hurdle. We've been close in the last handful of years of getting to that point. Be the team to get there and be the team to do well.
Steven?
I feel like a broken record, but, I mean, here you are. You're down to the final 8 teams in Class 1A. You are one of the top 8 teams in the state of Iowa in Class 1A, still playing ball at this time of year. You know what? Take advantage of it. Make the most of that opportunity. Don't get worried about anything. Don't get hung up on, you know, what this means for the future, what this means for anything. Just worry about each and every time you are out there, you are taking care of your job. And, I mean, I'll probably say this till I'm blue in the face, but you know what? Every play is your last one out there until it's not. And so just get going, get motivated, know that this is not going to be an easy football game. This is a team that knows how to win, but you are a team that knows how to win. So go out there and let's just play to the top of our capability. And let the cards fall where they may, and got a really good feeling that that means that the Bears are going to win. But we cannot take anything for granted because we're, like we say, 8 best teams in the entire state of Iowa are the ones playing right now.
Steven, what would Coach Brand say right now?
Do your job. Take care of yourself, and the rest will take care of itself.
There you go. Well, I think, fellas, this one here has kind of a state championship feel to it for me. Because every game is a state championship kind of game right now. You lose, you're done. You win, you feel good. And we want to feel good next week when we talk. And we'll be doing it right here on the Talking Bear Football Podcast.
On WestBranchFootball.com.
Take care, everyone.
West Branch Football.